Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed the light on the undarkened corridors of power and shine a light ahead of us onto the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center to face the music and dance together. That is to address problems rather than defend positions. We have another purpose, too, and that is to provide a context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. Well, speaking of confusing and contradictory content, 21st century America is plagued with a corporate media that has proven so untrustworthy that fake news has gotten a free pass. The 2016 election, as we're discovering day by day, was fueled by fake news. Now, another side of the downside, I would say, of this Orwellian reality, or should we say Orwellian reality TV show, is that real news, that is stuff that really did happen, and there is evidence to prove it, goes unreported or ignored. Case in point. Did you know that in a letter dated November 7th, 2018, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York notified the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry that he would comply with their petition requiring him to present to a special grand jury the Lawyers Committee's reports filed earlier this year of unprosecuted federal crimes at the World Trade Center? Did you hear about that? You didn't. Well, that's because mainstream media makes it its business to ensure that anything that points to nefarious doings of the real deep state is none of its business. The misinformation, disinformation, and missing information that pollute corporate news have created the perfect field for fake news to flourish, which is why this latest development might be a genuine breakthrough. It means a 23-member grand jury vested with the subpoena power and authority to take sworn testimony is finally going to hear the evidence of the World Trade Center's demolition and will have the ability to conduct a thorough investigation. Well, our guest on this week, on this week's Wiki Politiki, is journalist and author Andrew Craig, that's spelled K-R-E-I-G, and he's going to discuss his own involvement with the Lawyers Committee, as well as his work through his organization, the Justice Integrity Project, which is, I have found, broad, transpartisan, bluntly truthful, and not afraid to take on both the deep state and the Trumpist disinformation machine. The mission of of the Integrity Project is, quote, to report misconduct primarily in the justice and political systems that harms individuals, communities, and democratic values. The project is nonpartisan and supported by advertising revenue and paid subscriptions, unquote. Andrew Craig's background includes 14 years as a Metro newspaper reporter. He's got degrees from Yale Law School and the University of Chicago Law School, as well as Cornell. He's lectured on five continents and appeared on hundreds of broadcast interviews. He's in Who's Who in America and Who's Who in the World since the mid-90s. He is the author, we'll talk about this book a little bit, of Presidential Puppetry, Obama, Romney, and Their Masters. And this book on the Obama second term reveals what he calls devastating hidden histories about the top two candidates in 2012. We have a lot to cover, including a more balanced portrayal of our recently departed George Herbert Walker Bush, and of course, the crisis of real news and fake news. So, after that long introduction, welcome, Andrew.
What a pleasure to be on your show. I love the concept of it, and thank you for your kind introduction.
Well, good. Let's start with the Lawyers for 9/11 Truth. A little background on that. You've been involved in this movement for a while. Tell us about the lawyers, what I would find remarkable, that somehow this thing is ready to break through the soundless barrier. Tell us more about that.
Well, the Lawyers Committee is a separate but related development from architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And I think the derivation or the history is that important work, vital work, was done by architects and engineers led by Richard Gage, who several years after the tragedy started looking into it and came to conclusions that the official story did not make scientific, architectural, and engineering sense. To build a solid movement among those professionals, they tried to confine themselves as to what did not happen or what could not have happened, and do basically technical-based studies more or less oriented to that end. That's vital work, but it left unknown what did happen. And that's where a related group has parallels among just the general public, but lawyers came together to say, well, let's use our tools as lawyers to try to find out what did happen. And this grand jury effort is a major step along that line, because ultimately researchers and other concerned citizens can only do so much when a problem is criminal, secret in nature. And at some point you need to get the authorities involved. So that's, I don't know if it's a long or concise answer to your question, but I'm sure you have a number of others.
Well, it's a good beginning. What I think my people want to know is what kind of compelling evidence was presented, evidence compelling enough to actually be heard by a grand jury?
Well, a major part of this has been under development for several years at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, under the direction of the chairperson of the Department of Mines and Engineering. And they've done some very detailed and authoritative studies that can be found on the website of 9/11 related websites, primarily 9/11 architects and engineers, and it just shows how impossible really it is for steel frame structures of this kind to collapse from either an airplane hit or fire from airplane fuel. These buildings are designed to withstand both of those incidents. And in fact, the most dramatic evidence is in the collapse of building number 7, the third building that collapsed about 7.5 hours after the last airplane hit the first of the two towers. And there was only minor fire damage at this building 7, the third building. It's maybe a little confusing, but there are three buildings mm-hmm. that went down. And what these groups, both the lawyers groups and the architects and engineers, have demonstrated is that of all of the buildings in the world that are called steel-framed structures, only three have ever gone down, arguably by fire. And these are the three World Trade Center buildings. And to mention the unmentionable in most mainstream news discourse, the lawyers are suggesting that it looks like controlled demolition of the kind that is commonly the case to take down intentionally old buildings through explosives is the most reasonable explanation for what happened, not airplanes hitting the buildings.
I was looking at the report, and one of the most remarkable things is how many people reported hearing explosions prior to the planes hitting.
Well, exactly. That's part of the evidence to have those who are survivors and other witnesses be given a forum to come in and say what they know. And again, you can have independent citizens and other researchers write books about this and coax these people at some risk to their reputations and careers, tell their stories, but you need to get it into an official proceeding with the power of a grand jury. And I know your audience is sophisticated, but it's worth spelling out that a grand jury in our legal system has a almost unique power to compel people to come in, and not just voluntary witnesses, but people who might not want to talk, and say, you've got to talk, and you've got to talk under oath, and you've got to bring in your documents. And so that's the stage that we're at. And it could be a very significant point. Although I at some point here, and maybe now's the time, I have to say that it's somewhat unclear what it all means, because mm-hmm. it could be where someone says an authority, namely the U.S. attorney, oh, we're going to comply with our requirement to investigate, but it's very hard to see if that's going to be a full throttle or even half throttle compliance, or whether it could possibly be just something to say to stave off further public pressure.
You know, having been involved with various aspects of 9/11 truth since probably 2003, I can say that breaking this through the soundless barrier is very difficult. I wonder if any of the mainstream press, you know, the New York Post or any of these papers, has reported this little interesting thing that they're going to hear the testimony. Have you seen it anywhere in the mainstream press?
I have not. I know that a local paper in Greenwich Village, I think it's called Westview, was working on a story, and I was helping a writer on that, but I don't know if it actually appeared. It was being submitted right at the paper's most recent deadline, and I don't know if it appeared. I believe it's called the Westview Voice, or it's not the Village Voice, but
no.
In terms of the mainstream press, they've been very bad on this, and I've been, as you mentioned in your biography, part of the mainstream at various junctures of my life, either entirely or partly, as currently, and it's quite disappointing to me that when the press is under terrible attack now for fake news and so forth, that they're not living up to their responsibilities on some of these deep state type of issues. And I'll include the assassination of President Kennedy as another example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably a current paid-up member of six or so of the major new journalism organizations in this country, including the National Press Club in Washington, the Overseas Press Club based in New York, American Society of Newspaper Editors, and about three or four others. And when these topics come up, people just mutter conspiracy theory, or that's not on our agenda, or we're not talking about it. And it's very sad, because I see that it directly fuels irresponsible fear and crazy thoughts in the public, because they know that some of these topics are not being addressed, and they imagine that others aren't. And I think that we in the media, we're all part of the media to some extent, but we've got to be consistent, and if something's newsworthy, address it. And my hat is off to you for doing this, Steve. I know it must have some challenges for you as others, but thank you for addressing these matters.
Well, good. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be back talking with Andrew Craig about the Lawyers for 9/11 Truth and other ways that the veils are being lifted. This is Steve Behrman, Wiki Politiki, back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, this is Steve Behrman. I'm back with Andrew Craig on Wiki Politiki Radio. We're talking about the responsibility of the press and how to break fringe ideas that are true through the soundless barrier. I had an experience, if you don't mind me sharing this. In 2006, I got the idea that I was definitely going to publish an article about 9/11, and I chose David Ray Griffin, who had written a book called The New Pearl Harbor. And I approached a local, our local paper here, city paper, but Entertainment Weekly, the Bohemian. And I spoke with the editor, and I pitched a story to her, and she said no. I said, wouldn't you be curious as to how a very mainstream theologian, very well known like David Ray Griffin, came to this conclusion that 9/11 was an inside job? And she said very quietly, well, yeah, that sounds like a good angle. So I went to write the story without knowing if she would actually publish it. And so 6 weeks later, I called her and I said, the article is ready. And she said to me quietly, she said, I've been talking with my son about this and we've come to the conclusion that 9/11 was probably an inside job. And I feel so disheartened at that prospect. But nonetheless, they published the article. It was called Unquestioned Answers, a non-conspiracy theorist, I called him a non-conspiracy theorist, takes aim at the 9/11 story. And we got 100 letters on that, and they were all the same. They were all basically, wow, thank you so much for writing this. Thank you for having the courage to publish it, and so on. And because so I think that there are people out there, and again, I saw Richard Gage. He spoke at the Transpartisan Political Summit in 2009 in Denver. And after his presentation, we did like an instant keypad anonymous vote. And of the it was a very, very wide spectrum of people at this conference. And the poll revealed that 70% of the people in the room thought that that we weren't being told the truth about 9/11 and that somehow our own government was involved, either to allow it to happen or as a co-conspirator. So I think one of the reasons why there is such thing as fake news is, as you just said very articulately before we took the break, that because the press has shown its unwillingness to confront these very touchy, controversial, and devastating issues, that they've lost credibility. And so things like Pizzagate and Q and all of these things can gain traction in people who already don't trust the press. So some comments on that.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And also, it is great to hear a success story where you kept trying and you achieved success. I encourage listeners in our own different communities and peer groups to keep trying to do that kind of thing, because it's not a monolith, and we can find the right reporter in the right situation, or not necessarily a reporter, but a filmmaker or a clergy person or some other kind of influencer who can make a difference. And it's not predictable who and when that person would be. And I'll just point to, in another context, a huge success in the assassination truth movement, where one reporter, an experienced law enforcement reporter at the Washington Post, wrote two major breakthrough stories last spring. In one, he got somehow on the Sunday front page of the Washington Post that the King family did not believe the official story of Martin Luther King's death. And just as remarkable, he got a story that two prominent members of the Kennedy family, children of Robert F. Kennedy, did not believe the official story that Sirhan Sirhan killed their father. And so this is another example, like your example, that you never quite know who or when is going to be the breakthrough. And we do have to keep trying. But just like we don't want to take the family car out on the road without knowing where the potholes and toll booths and blockages are, we do have to talk about the institutional reasons why these stories can't just get out there in the normal course, and it takes often elaborate efforts to get them out. And it happens, I won't keep talking here without questions, but I'll just toss out the concept that I set out in law school to study this phenomenon from an economic standpoint, and I'll just offer, Steve, the conclusion that sometimes people talk about the marketplace of ideas. The concept, it came from Justice Louis Brandeis a century ago, that everyone will buy books or listen to our news in a way that suits their needs, purposes, and that the right idea will find its customer. And here was my conclusion, that that's a superficial analysis, because for most media, it's unclear who the customer is. So in the newspaper business, where I started out, 70% of the revenue comes from advertisers, not from subscribers. And in, let's say, TV network news, most of the time the viewer pays nothing directly. So the viewer is not really the customer. And so you have advertisers, but then you also have powerful entities behind many of the major media. And some of these entities are not even making their main money from the media enterprise. So the media enterprise is almost like a public relations department of a corporation. That's not where the money is generated.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And of course, news has become entertainment, as we know, ever since, USA Today and CNN and so on. And obviously, it's been true for a long, 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 long time, back to John Randolph Hearst and yellow journalism and the interlocking directorates between the industrialists and what they wanted people to know. And,
exactly. And I've actually got a little anecdote on that today that let me intrude with it. My office in Washington is on Pennsylvania Avenue, halfway between Congress and the White House. And more relevantly, it's just two blocks from the federal courthouse, where today I attended and covered the what had been expected to be the sentencing of the former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. But on my way back to the office from the courthouse, I passed the Newseum, which is this museum created by the Gannett Foundation and the major news media on Pennsylvania Avenue and 6th Street. And they have on the front wall newspapers from about 30 newspapers from around the country changed every day to show the front page. And I was just looking at the thing and seeing how little news there is. And this goes to your point just now, Steve, and it's graphics. And I can tell you that today's New Orleans newspaper, two-thirds of it was devoted to a regular season's game of the local football team.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it was really just little snippets of news and pictures from other things, but so little that it would be no wonder if people weren't interested, because there's hardly anything there. And you get a steady diet of this, and you begin to think that what the quarterback is doing at some juncture of a regular season game is the most important thing in the world. And that can't possibly be the case unless our minds are warped in some way.
Well, I think there's been, I call it a stupidization program going on, and we call that kind of news Babylon. You know, Babylon, to keep the body politic in diapers. And, you know, you've been overseas, having gone overseas, and my wife and I were traveling in Europe. And, of course, what CNN broadcasts in Europe, what Time magazine publishes in Europe, is completely different than what they publish in the States. And most of what they're publishing here is to keep people quiet and satisfied. You know, you mentioned those two breakthroughs, and I'm very familiar with the assassination breakthroughs. My friend and associate Byron Belitzos was very much involved with he works with Bill Pepper, who was Martin Luther King's attorney, who actually brought the case originally in 1999 in Memphis. And I interviewed Bill Pepper for my show on the I think it was the 49th anniversary of King's assassination.
Well, he's a great,
and
great
basically,
man.
Yes, exactly. And apparently, this reporter, this intrepid reporter, somebody who actually deserves the term intrepid reporter, this intrepid reporter actually spent 3 hours talking to Bill Pepper before writing the story about the King assassination. It was the Monday of the 50th anniversary. And then he put out a similar story around the 55th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And what I will say about those two stories is they did indeed appear in the in the Washington Post, but not one news service, not one progressive news service, not Democracy Now!, not Mother Jones, none of these, not NPR, none of them would follow up and even mention the story. It got no mention. But it did get in the Washington Post, which was jaw-dropping.
It really was. And I've gotten to know Dr. Pepper. In fact, I've worked closely with him on these stories. And by that route, I've gotten to know Byron, a very civic-minded and courageous thought leader as well. I've studied this phenomenon, and here's a couple of quick thoughts on it. One is that the term conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist is a brilliant stroke fostered in the 1960s by the CIA to poison the well of any discussion of any of these topics. And anybody could look it up on the internet. There's a declassified CIA memo from 1967, which is 50 pages long, and you can see how they instructed their operatives around the U.S. and around the world to put out the word in the journalism community and also academia that anyone who doesn't believe the Warren report on the JFK assassination is a conspiracy theorist who is unworthy to hold a job. And
wow.
This has lasting damage in academia and journalism. And people show that they are worthy to hold a job by refusing to re-report these stories and filling their conversation with, well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't look into this. And that's the signal that they deserve to hold a job. And I know you got a break coming up here, but I have a surprising little factoid I can add to that.
Keep going until we hear the music. Keep going.
Okay. Well, here's one of the factoids that when I was doing the research on the media at the University of Chicago Law School, my professor was, for a year, and this was Cass Sunstein, who later became head of federal regulation in the White House under President Obama, and his wife, Samantha Power, became UN ambassador. But Professor Sunstein, who was very interested in the media, but he later wrote one of the major books denouncing conspiracy theorists. And that was a long time ago that I studied under him, but long before 9/11. But what's interesting is that he, like all of these people, and I've probably got about eight of the books of the major people who denounce conspiracy theorists, Steve, they never examine the evidence. It's all name-calling. So they don't want to look at the evidence on JFK, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, 9/11. They just want to name-call and take wacky idiots, Pizzagate-type idiots, although the books are written before that, and smear all serious research with the craziest fools on the planet. And many of these supposed crazy fools, I've gotten to know, and some of them are either nuts or paid-off agents to make us all look bad.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. We'll be back with Andrew Craig after this break and talk more about some of the phony conspiracy theories. Steve Behrman, this is WikiPolitik.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you waken to your full potential, so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, this is Steve Behrman. I'm back with Andrew Craig, and wow, it's hard to confine this conversation to just one hour. There's so much to unwrap and uncover. And as you suggested, that using this term conspiracy theory, the other aspect of conspiracy theory is using disinformation, pollute and contaminate actual real stories and real evidence. And the two that have been in the news most recently are the Pizzagate, which I saw you had a little piece from Wayne Mattson on that, and also the Q and so on. So why don't you talk a little bit about I know that you published something on Pizzagate, so tell me more about that.
Well, a good friend of mine from my time in Washington, including at the National Press Club, is Wayne Mattson, and he's often described as a conspiracy theorist himself, but I believe that's a smear, and I've looked into how the smear got created, and I won't get into that now, but it's been used to discredit him when actually he's a very serious investigator, one of the first people to write about 9/11 and a number of other topics, former Navy intelligence officer and NSA analyst who has a lot of guts. And as he has written about things like 9/11, he found that he wasn't invited onto network television or cable shows anymore, and he found himself on outlets like Alex Jones and so forth. But he never really bought into what Alex Jones, for example, was doing. And with that prelude, Steve, I'll say that probably about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and whenever it was current, we decided to go to, what's the name of the place? Comet, the pizza place.
Yes, exactly. Comet,
It's here in Washington. And we just thought, let's go take a look at the place, just like we do on a lot of other things. And we happened to bring a friend of ours and his girlfriend, both of whom were big Pizzagate believers. Mm-hmm. And they both held responsible jobs in the world. And we went up to this place and we ordered some pizza. And part of the myth that some of these wacky people, including Alex Jones and his crew, were saying is that there were abandoned subway tunnels underneath the place, and that children were being kept for pedophilia purposes and so forth. And, of course, those of us who live in Washington know that there's no subway anywhere near around there. It's in northwest Washington. We went up there, saw the bare floors of cement, and, yeah, there are kids there. I mean, kids come with their families and eat pizza. But the punchline of the story is, even though it was totally obvious to any sane observer that the whole Pizzagate idea was nonsensical, our two friends were unconvinced. They continued to say, well, we were missing something, and that the slab bare concrete floors, you know, must hold secret compartments or something like that. And so there's a powerful hold that secrets and the concept that only a few of us know the secrets have on the human mind, or at least some human mind. And both the propaganda organs of the deep state and many of our fellow citizens are immersed in that. And, you know, I think I operate under the theory that we're all a little nuts, much as we try not to be. But some people are really nuts. and we got to make sure that, you know, they're not our thought leaders. And by the way, at the sentencing hearing today, I engaged with some of the Flynn supporters and other people. There's a guy who had a big sign, black limousine, and he's always at these sentencing hearings, and I chatted with him a bit. Maybe because you have an uplifting show, I'll mention that, not the nutty part. But I said, so you get good advertising by showing up at all these sentencing and holding up your sign for the black limousine that your service you run? He says, well, that's not really it. He says, I've got grandchildren, and these footages of, you know, people coming in and out of these sentencing, so that's going to be history for 50 years, and I want them to see their granddad. And I said, no, well, that's nice. you know, he's somebody who may look like he's not got a purpose, but he's actually got a purpose, and I take my hat off to him. But the other stories is I was engaged in conversation with some of the very fervent people who said, who were there were signs, General Flynn is innocent, and the FBI is, you know, railroading him. And actually, I've done many stories about the FBI railroading people. Really horrible stories that are up on the Justice Integrity Project website. And that's actually how and why we got our start. But you can't think that everything is a miscarriage of justice. Sometimes there needs to be justice.
A carriage of justice. Yes, we need a carriage of justice.
And so that was actually, to shift the topic a little bit, the big stunner here is that the presiding judge, Emmett Sullivan, had really, really given the Justice Department a hard time in the prosecution of the former U.S. Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, and he actually cost some of the prosecutors their jobs by saying that they withheld evidence. And so he looked like the kind of guy who was really going to give the Justice Department a hard time here. But instead, he gave General Flynn a hard time and basically postponed the sentencing and said, well, people can read about it in the papers but in detail. But basically, even though the special prosecutor said we're not recommending jail time, the judge made clear that he thought that this was a very serious offense. And they did not have the sentencing today, but it certainly shocked the supporters of General Flynn, who have been listening to this radio about the witch hunt and how it's all a bogus investigation. So I fear I'm wandering a little bit away from your questions here. So let me submit.
No, I think this is all really relevant. Well, this is really all relevant, and I wish we had 2 hours, and we'll have you back. But I think that what's really important here, to kind of put a frame around this whole thing, is that you are one of the few people out there. And I don't know, I don't know whether you're one of those people that they won't have on mainstream TV anymore, but that is why and how they've managed consensus. Phil Donahue was kicked off the air because he was against the war in Iraq, and he had the most popular show on PBS. And so I stopped watching PBS at that point.
By the way, that's a great, to the extent you have a moment, that illustrates the whole point about the economics, that it's not about the marketplace of ideas because he was popular, but he went against the larger interests of the organizations.
Exactly.
That are non-monetary in part, but to perform the consensus.
And so that's why I so appreciate the work that Mark Crispin Miller is doing. I so appreciate the work that you're doing in both the issues of integrity and justice. And so on my WikiPolitiki page, both on the Ohm Times network and also on the on my WikiPolitiki website, there's links to both the Lawyers Commission PDF that you can download, and also a link to your website. And I think that's I've actually made it a bookmark. I've actually made your Justice Integrity website a bookmark for me, because that's where I go now to look at what the news is. And so we don't have very much time left, but anything else that you would like to add for how we can actually create breakthroughs so that we support the real media and de-support either the total fake news like Alex Jones and those people,
disinformation,
I call it disinformation. And how do we support the kind of journalism that seems to be on its last legs here?
Well, I would first say thank you, and I'm going to respond in kind by linking on my sites to your show and also to others. I've been meaning to do that for a while. But in a concise way to give your listeners something to do, I would say think of yourself as the media. Be the media. Don't complain about the media. Be the media. If there's an author that you like, if there's a film you like, go on Amazon or someplace and write a review of it, or just hit a like button, or recirculate it, and think of yourself, and invite the author or filmmaker or professor to speak to one of your groups somehow. So be proactive, I guess, is the solution. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Andrew Craig, for being my guest on WikiPolitiki today. And we will be back next week with our Christmas show. So we'll talk to you soon. And thank you again, Andrew. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. Go to my website and find out more about Andrew Craig and his work. Thank you so very much.